Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Burned Bones by Loretta Hignett, narrated by Sharon Friedman. Chapter 1. The call came through as I tumbled off the ledge of the building. I flailed wildly in the air, landed butt first on the hard concrete, rolled, and got right back to my feet, wiping purple tentacle slime off my hands before digging into my pocket for my phone. Gah, that hurt. At least I hadn't smashed my phone yet. I checked the screen quickly, ignoring the screams of fright from the other side of the building. It was Sergeant Richard Goodrem. I wiped my other hand on my leather pants and pressed the answer button. Hello?
I need you downtown now.
Goodrem's voice was bordering on hysterical. Aw. I tucked in my earpiece, switched to hands-free, took a moment to heal my broken bones, cuts, and scrapes, and started scaling the outside of the building again. You need me, Dick? How sweet.
This is no time for jokes, Nakai. We've got a Class 5 sorcerer causing havoc on the rooftop in full view of the public.
Uh-huh. I hear you. What was Class 5 again? My hand slipped on the ledge on the first floor. Gritting my teeth for a second, I dug my fingers into the wall and hauled myself up, balancing on the tiny lip of the window by my tiptoes. Are those the ones who can make glitter sparkles?
No!
He practically screamed down the line.
A Class 5 sorcerer is a half-fey, half-blood witch with transformational abilities.
I enjoyed messing with the human police otherworld liaison. He had no sense of humor, and he was, appropriately enough, a bit of a dick. I thought we were going with the simplified classification system, Sergeant. Why don't you say we've got a bad witch on a roof doing bad shit? He let out a scream of exasperation.
Just get there now. Downtown, West 83rd.
Uh-huh, I grunted, swinging up onto the overhang, sandwiching myself up against a window. I hear you loud and clear. I ducked. A giant purple tentacle swept down over the edge of the rooftop, missing me by inches. And what am I going to find at West 83rd?
A bad witch doing bad shit,
Goodrem screamed.
I've got a crowd gathering on the street outside, at the main entrance of the building. They're all watching him. We're about to have a major incident on our hands.
Oh, no. I jammed myself into the window recess as a giant purple tentacle wiggled down over the edge of the rooftop again. That sounds just awful. If he could hear the sarcasm in my voice, he chose to ignore it.
We need you there, Nakai. Tell me you're on the way.
Well, I'm sorry to have to inform you of this, Sergeant, I said sadly, peeking over the last floor of the building to the rooftop. But I'm no longer the enforcer of DC. I can't help you. Great. He wasn't looking. The giant purple tentacles were sweeping the other side. Slowly, I hauled myself up.
Nakai!
Goodrem screeched in my ear.
This is serious. Stop messing around. I know you're not the enforcer anymore.
Then you know that I don't have any authority to intervene in supernatural incidents. My license to kill soups has been revoked, and I can't investigate shit. I'm just a regular girl now, Dick, I sighed sadly. If I get caught up in a soup event, I could get my ass whipped by the soup authorities and human intelligence agencies will lock me away. An enormous purple tentacle swept by. I crouched down out of sight. Hundreds of tiny eyeballs blinked in place of suckers. I pursed my lips. I wondered if the sorcerer thought that through. All those eyes were really unnecessary. If I were a batshit crazy megalomaniac sorcerer looking to bring about the downfall of society as we knew it, I would have gone with normal suckers. And if I really couldn't stop myself, maybe an extra eyeball on the end of each tentacle. There was no accounting for taste. The tentacle disappeared. I quickly hauled myself up over the ledge and rolled into a crouch on the rooftop and ducked behind the air conditioning vent. In my ear, Dick Goodrem's voice turned oily.
Prue, please.
Oh, it's Prue now, is it? Last I heard, you were fingering me as a suspect in several major paranormal incidents.
I had to, Goodrem moaned. The feds got a visual of you when you bagged that troll by the Arlington Memorial Bridge. They weren't going to just let it go. That bridge sustained millions of dollars in damage.
Yeah, well, I grimaced. It would have been worse if I hadn't knocked him out when I did. A pile of rocks is a lot easier to move than an angry, sentient pile of rocks that doesn't want to get off the bridge.
I had to say something. My job is on the line here.
He really was getting worked up. I sighed and peeked around the vent. The sorcerer had his back to me. He was facing the main entrance, as I suspected. I'd approached him from this side for this very reason. He looked ridiculous. Human-looking from the waist up, the sorcerer had long, straggly, dark hair drawn back in a leather tie, bushy black eyebrows, close-set eyes, and an enormous beaky nose. A glittery midnight blue robe covered his shoulders. He was obviously going for the look of a mighty sorcerer, except the robe he'd chosen plunged down at the neckline, revealing his hairy chest, making him look a little like he was wearing a pretty bathrobe. From the waist down, however, he was pure nightmare fuel. 8 enormous purple tentacles writhed from his body, each one the size of a full-grown Burmese python. Hundreds of eyeballs blinked along the lengths of the tentacles in a deeply unsettling way. 6 of them were holding him on the ledge, allowing him to look down on the street below. If he had gone for suckers instead of eyeballs, he would have only needed 2 tentacles to hold himself there. He'd gone for aesthetics over practicality. Amateur. He bellowed down into the gathering crowd, his voice magically enhanced.
Kneel, kneel before your grand master.
I sighed. A show pony. We'd had a handful of these guys in the last 2 weeks. They'd started popping up since the treaty broke and the Great Agreement began to wither away. It seemed like every single arrogant moron with an axe to grind had decided to declare themselves the new magical ruler of the Earth. They all had the same plan. Reveal magic to the normie world on a grand scale, gather as many human worshippers as they could, and bluster their way into godhood. These guys were all just being opportunistic. The Great Agreement wasn't suffocating supernatural creatures that did magic in front of the humans. Technically, there were no laws forbidding it. There were no longer any consequences. To say that the world was teetering on the edge of total chaos was putting it mildly. Of course, none of us were giving up that easily. My friends were working overtime to hold the city together. The soup leaders of Washington, D.C. had issued orders to their people to keep to the spirit of the treaty until they could create and formalize a new one. Time was of the essence. The rot of the broken treaty was spreading from the city slowly, and soon it would hit other states. But the negotiations hadn't been completed yet, and the new treaty was being picked apart by soup lawyers on all sides. It was an infuriatingly slow process, and it didn't help that these assholes were popping up all over town, trying to take advantage of their newfound freedom by making scenes wherever they could. At the moment, we were pursuing the rule breakers under technicalities. For example, if I had any authority, I could cuff this asshole sorcerer for trespassing, property destruction, and public affray, and crimes against fashion. I had no authority anymore, though. I'd been burned. "I'll tell you what," I said out loud to Goodrem. "You push through the request that was submitted to the Otherworld office in Langley, and I'll help you out with your rogue sorcerer on the rooftop downtown." The vampire nestmaster, witch high priestess, and the alpha shifter had all signed the request. If the human government approved it, it would give me clearance to handle breaches like the one I was looking at right now. So, if someone was caught deliberately displaying their magic to the humans, or even attacking them, then I would have carte blanche to do whatever I had to take them down. I would become a sort of live-action great agreement, smothering any magical rogues and rule-breakers. And it was sorely needed. This new rogue movement was like a cancer, spreading amongst all the arrogant supernatural creatures in the city who thought that this was their time, the perfect opportunity to bring magic into the human world and establish our place as their rightful leaders. None of them could see the big picture. If we upset the balance of our society, then we were all dead.
"I can't push it through. It's going to take weeks for the human government to approve it,"
Goodrem screeched in my ear.
"It has to go through all the intelligence agencies first. Prue, you have no idea the amount of background checks and threat assessments they have to do before they approve something like that."
He spluttered, almost incoherently.
"And they already think you're a rogue. Can you imagine the hoops I'd have to go through to get you cleared?"
"Well, that was your fault, Dick," I muttered, scuttling to the next vent on my belly like a lizard. "Clean up the mess you made, and I'll help you."
"The CIA got a clear image of your face. What was I supposed to do? Besides, before they approve you, you'd have to submit to a skills assessment. It's not gonna fly,"
he said bluntly.
"You're too jacked up, Prue."
"Yeah." Huffing out a breath, I edged closer. The sorcerer was fully occupied now, grandstanding to the crowd below. "I know." That was the main problem. The human authorities always needed to know that they were on top. Before I was officially approved as the new defender of human society as we knew it, they would first have to make sure they could kill me if they needed to. And they couldn't. They had no idea how powerful I really was, and nobody was more eager to keep that fact hidden than me. Rumors were still swirling through Soupworld about the mysterious child of the beast, a baby born to a human woman, fathered by the most powerful Fey warlord in history. Despite nobody knowing who the child actually was, the rumor mill had been working overtime, stirring fear and panic through the city. Even a kid with half his powers was a threat. The beast could devour the magic of anyone in his general vicinity, rendering them weak, confused, and powerless. Defenseless, everyone assumed that this mystery child would be just as bad. I'd become a scary story, a monster to scare your kids with before they went to sleep. Go straight to bed, Timmy, or else the child of the beast will eat your magic and you'll wither and die. So dramatic. I peeked around the vent. The sorcerer whipped two of his enormous purple tentacles over his head, waving them in the air. I could even hear the crowd below giving a coordinated, "Ooh,
that's right," the sorcerer muttered loudly to himself. "I've read the paranormal romance bestseller lists. This is what the ladies want now. Come get these tentacles, girls."
"Prue, please,"
Gudrim moaned in my ear.
"I'm begging you. This dude is hanging over the edge of the Gorman building, flailing tentacles the size of a minibus."
"You don't say," I muttered, watching the purple-tentacled sorcerer lean down further and bellow at the crowd.
"I demand a sacrifice. Bring me 3 young maidens to tend to my first godly acolyte temple."
"No virgins. They don't know what they're doing,"
the sorcerer added a little quieter.
"And one has to be blonde, at least a D-cup."
I rolled my eyes so hard they got stuck. Men. They were all the same, even when they were power-hungry half-breed sorcerers. Think, Prue. I could grow big, charge him, and push him off the building. The fall would probably kill him. I was too scared to go big, though. The power was unsettling, and I was scared of losing my perspective. Pushing him might not work. He was pretty dexterous with those tentacles. He could probably whip a couple around, latch onto something, and stop himself from falling. Besides, if he fell, he might land on the crowd below and squish them flat. Then the intelligence agencies would chase me to the ends of the earth. "I'll make you a deal," I said to Gudrim. "I've been burned. The feds have my face, and I know they have flagged me as a key suspect in the rogue movement. Get me off that list, and I'll come and help you with your sorcerer problem." He exhaled roughly in my ear.
I can't.
"Then I guess I'll be hanging up now, Dick," I sang. "I've got a client waiting. I have to get back to my real job."
"Nakai, don't you dare."
I hit the button on my earpiece, cutting off the call. I wasn't lying. I did have a client waiting. Susan Quinn, an enormously rich wife of a Saudi billionaire, was sitting in my little nail salon with her fingers soaking in acetone. If I didn't get back to her soon, she'd murder me. I peeked around the vent again. It was time to take this sucker down. Or, rather, no suckers. He probably should have gone for extra ears rather than multiple eyeballs. He hadn't heard a word of my conversation with Gudrim. And fuck that guy. I wasn't going to do anything to help Gudrim, not since he ratted me out to the feds. Sure, he didn't give them my actual name, but he did point out that a girl with my description had been spotted at the scene of various supernatural disasters. Because of him, I was a person of interest. It would have been wiser to keep my head down and stay away from supernatural disasters like this one, but I couldn't. There were too many breaches happening right now, and nobody else to deal with them.
I was here because Aunt Marsh, the High Priestess of Washington, D.C., had called me half an hour ago and begged me for help. She was upstate trying to subdue a whole doomsday coven. The witches she was taking care of weren't overpowered, but they were suicidal. She needed me. The shifters had their hands full, too. Max and the rest of his pack were off hunting a group of rogue cats. Most of the shapeshifters in the city had fallen into line and were obeying Max's edict of secrecy. But totally unironically, the cats were being assholes about it. A group of arrogant panthers, lynxes, and cheetahs had decided that they didn't need to follow the Alpha Shifter's orders. They'd been wandering around the city in animal form, scaring the shit out of the normies. So when Aunt Marsh called me, I left my client sitting in my salon with aluminum foil over her fingertips and leapt into action. I narrowed my eyes, focusing on the sorcerer. He threw his head back and bellowed with laughter.
"Come, ladies,"
he boomed down into the crowd below.
"Come and join my godly harem. I can provide good dental and will have pizza nights on Fridays. Clothing optional."
A flash of blue shone on his hairy chest. Bingo! A transformation charm. If I smashed that glowing blue cabochon hanging from a chain around his neck, he'd revert to his normal half-human, half-fey form. He'd still be dangerous, but at least I could get rid of those creepy tentacles. I'd already run at him twice. Both times he'd flung me off the building with a quick swipe. He could see me coming a mile away thanks to all those stupid eyeballs. Think, Prue. If only I could become invisible. I'd been working on it, but the most I could do was reduce myself down to my bare bones, my true form. I needed a distraction. Whipping off my backpack, I dug inside and got out my party supplies. I curated my kit carefully. It contained everything I needed to clean up magical hazmat and cover up paranormal phenomena so the normies didn't freak out. I took out the hologram projector and put it on the ground next to me, aiming the laser a little to the right. Then I pulled out my Bluetooth speaker and scrolled through my phone, choosing a podcast of an interview with a serial killer. I adjusted the pitch so he sounded like an alien and hit play on the projection. A hologram of a grinning, dancing sloth popped up 12 feet away from me, swinging his hips and shooting very slow finger guns as he twirled slowly in a circle. The sorcerer jerked and twisted his head towards the hologram. He cocked an eyebrow, confused.
"What the hell is that?"
Leaving two of his tentacles waving in the air for the crowd, and four others holding him over the edge of the building, the sorcerer sent his last two limbs to investigate. They squirmed over towards the sleepy, smiling sloth, who appeared to be reciting the exact methods for flaying the skin off a victim so you could preserve his tattoos. Yes, it worked. The sorcerer was well and truly distracted. There was no time to waste. I moved, rolling to the left. I scrambled to my feet, pushing muscle through my body as I bolted towards him. 20 feet, 15, 10. A tentacle whipped back. I ducked and rolled underneath it. 1,000 little eyeballs blinked. He'd spotted me.
"You again?"
the sorcerer bellowed. Another fleshy purple limb lashed at me. I reared back.
"I thought I killed you already. Stay still, you strumpet.
He wound two tentacles up and flung them towards me. I swiveled and twisted away at the last second.
Not a chance, scumbag, I grunted. Gah!
Two tentacles came at me from either side. I jumped, and they slammed together with a resounding smack. He ground his teeth.
I thought you died.
In your dreams, pal. He swiped at me again, hissing when he missed.
You're like a cockroach.
The insult snapped my concentration, and I stumbled. Cockroach. That was what my sister Isabel had called me when I was a toddler, because the smell of my rotting flesh had attracted cockroaches. Isabel. Oh, God. Suddenly, a thick tendril wrapped around my ankle and yanked, pulling me up into the air.
Aha! Got you.
I hung suspended and helpless. The sorcerer drew me closer.
How many times do I have to fling you off this building?
I don't know. 6, 7, maybe? His face screwed up.
Why won't you die?
Isabel had shouted those exact words at me more times than I could count. I groaned loudly. Why do you keep triggering my childhood trauma? The sorcerer frowned.
Huh?
Never mind, I sighed. I was getting lightheaded from hanging upside down.
Enough.
He drew himself up, obviously trying to remember that he was supposed to be a mighty Lovecraftian god monster.
You dare approach me without bowing?
His voice boomed, magically enhanced again.
You shall pay for your arrogance, mortal. Now I shall send you to the moon.
He flicked the tentacle, holding my ankle, and began to whip me over his head like a lasso. Blood rushed to my head. If he let me go now, I'd go flying across the city. Ah, shit. The reminder of my sister, rotting away in a fey dungeon, had really thrown me off my game. Focus, Prue. When in doubt, stab something. I bent double, whipped my knife out of my boot, and thrust it into the tentacle. The sorcerer squealed.
Ouch! That hurt!
Of course it did. His lower body wasn't an illusion. It was a transformation. Like me, he would still feel pain if he was injured. Maybe it was news to him, though, because he pulled the injured tentacle onto his body and clutched it with both hands, wailing loudly.
Ow! Oh, God! Ow! Ow! Ow!
Unfortunately, he didn't drop me, and I was dragged across the rooftop, bouncing on the rough concrete towards him. But he'd given me the chance I needed. He was distracted, and I was close enough. I squeezed my eyes shut for a second, imagining myself how I wanted to appear. Bones. I was just bones. And suddenly, that's exactly what I was. My leg shrunk as flesh melted into nothingness, and my ankle bone slipped out of his purple fleshy grip easily. Quickly, I clattered upright, pushing muscle and skin and tendons back around my body, slipping easily back into my over-muscled Candy Con form with the ease of practice. The sorcerer, realizing I'd escaped, hissed and swung at me. I feigned right, ducked left, punched a flailing tentacle as it thrust towards me, swooped under another one, and reached out towards the man himself. My fingers closed on the glowing blue cabochon around his neck. I yanked. He screamed. I threw the necklace on the ground and stomped.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?